Well, I'm starting week two of Loners, Not Owners, and talking about how everything that we have belongs to God. And we just need to be reminded of that from time to time, because it's so easy for us to take that back. I apologize this morning for what is happening inside of my throat. I won't be shaking hands at the end of the service to pass it on to you, as much as I love to share and to give. I'll try not to do that today. I rarely get sick. I probably have missed 2 days of work in a row in probably 10 years. And that's a guess. It could be more. Because it just doesn't happen very often. But I was nailed by whatever this is. Fever and all that sort of stuff. And it was quite challenging. And amidst it all, I had to write the sermon that you're going to hear this morning. So I apologize before I offer it to you. This is the best that it gets. As well as I had a webinar. I've never spoken on a webinar before, but the Wesleyan Church offers this. It goes out to probably 300 pastors, and then they mail it out to 7,500 pastors. And so I was speaking on that on Wednesday. So it was, I'm not responsible for what I said on that either. So if somebody comes back to you and said, my pastor heard you say, I was speaking on unconditional love. That's what they asked me to speak about. And they interviewed me, and I heard from missionaries, like overseas. It's amazing what you can be able to really do through technology. And who thanked me for the words that were shared. So I'm sure in our weakness, God is strong. And so we are grateful for that this morning. So I share that with you just to kind of give you a preface to be able to know that, and I feel really good compared to where I've been the last few days. Last week I shared about the importance of one book we offer. It's called The Blessed Life. It used to be an orange cover. So if you say, oh yeah, I had it in the orange cover, that's fine. They've just upgraded it. This is the only book in our bookstore that we give away. We pay for it, but we count it as an investment in the kingdom. So whether it's from you go here to Christ Wesleyan, that doesn't matter. If you're just visiting today, it doesn't matter. You are always welcome to be able to have that. All we do is we ask that you commit to read it. So nothing's worse than somebody giving you a book and it's sitting on a stack of books that you never read. But if you commit to read it, then you are very welcome. You can pick it up in our bookstore. It probably is, as I shared last week, was the beginning of our no longer passing offering plates, and that was about 7 years ago when we made a decision that we wanted giving really not to be about guilt responses, but about heart responses that says, I just want to give because it's God. And I want to respond to his heart with my heart. And so we turned it into that kind of a situation. And really, it's been a real blessing to be able to see how God has worked through it as a result. So at one time, I felt when I spoke about giving, I felt like I was asking for money. And I have to tell you, I'm not one who ever likes to ask. Even if Sharon and I had a financial need that was a crusher for us or a difficult thing, you would not hear from us. That's not who we are. And we would just we would pray about it, and we would just have to trust God. I dread asking for money for anything. And so I'm not a campaign fundraiser. I would never be good at that. I can tell you this. We went, Sharon and I went when we were very young. We were buying a house, and it was a double. And the realtor told us at that point, they said, oh, you can be able to get, you know, more than what your rent cost you for your side. You can get that from the other side. And I said, oh, okay. So we couldn't afford very much. Our salary and income was pretty low. And so I said, well, what does the amount pay there now? They said, well, it's an elderly lady, and she doesn't pay very much. But she said, you can move her out, and you can be able to get twice as much as she said. And I went, we could never do that. I said, well, they said, she's not even paying what she should be paying. She said, she's paying, let's just say, she's paying $150 a month, and you should be able to get $300 for that. And I said, you know what? We could never do that. She said, well, then you'd never be a good landlord. You might as well forget this. And I can remember thinking, you know, people are always more important than things. And people are more important than money. And not that you shouldn't be charging what you are as a landlord. Please don't feel I'm trying to guilt any landlord. But the fact is that when we realize God owns everything, it brings a real peace to us, and it brings a real joy to us that is far different than anything else. And I want to give you a few ideas and a few thoughts in regard to this, that little things mean a lot. How you handle the little things in your life. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Little things. It's very important. We totally underrate how important those little things are. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us in these moments we share. Let your words be my words. In Christ's name, amen. I don't think we have any idea how important we handle the little things. Like, we say, it wasn't much. It didn't really mean that much. Yes, little things become the measure of how you would handle more. You always say, if I only had a little bit more, and people would say, how much money does it take to be happy? And the answer is always, just a little more. Because the danger is of what we're looking for that to supply and satisfy the needs inside of our lives. And that's not where it happens. That's not where it happens. We've got to understand it's deeper, it's in the heart. I think there are ways that you handle things that are gonna make all the difference in the world. You know, Sharon and I have pretty much always we've never really had arguments about finances. And I know that's supposed to be the number one or number two thing in communication where people have difficulties, but we just haven't. And it's not because we don't have arguments. So don't go there. Don't even think that's the case. We're two people with a very strong opinion. We both know that we're right. So you can figure it out from there. But the fact is that when it comes to finances, I think we always had some pretty good boundaries. And we had some pretty good things in place that helped us and protected us. I share this with couples when I do premarital. But one is we always tithed. Our 10% came right off the top. Before anything else, that was the first thing that we did. We didn't have a lot, but we tithed. So it didn't matter how much you had. That's the great thing. I love the story about the guy who, you know, came to the pastor and he said, would you pray? My business is failing and whatever. And he said, I don't make very much, but I really would like to make this a success. And pastor told him, well, start tithing 10% of what you're giving. And then he said, well, you know, it's only $100, so that's not a lot, $10. And so then he started faithfully, and his business prospered, and he went to making 1,000 a week, and so it was like 100. And so then it was pretty soon he was making 2,000, and so it was like 200. And he said, went back to the pastor, and he said, Pastor, he said, you know, it's so hard for me to pay 200 a week. And he said, would you just pray that God will help me be able to do that? And the pastor said, sure. And so he put his hand on him and said, Lord, would you just reduce this man's income back to $100 so he can afford to pay his tithe each week? Now, that's not what he had in mind. But it didn't mean that you necessarily have to have a lot to be faithful at what you have. And so Sharon and I, that was the first thing we would always do. We set up we each get an allowance, so we can both spend the same amount, so all our money goes into the same pot. We call it the company, the Davis Company. And so all our money goes into the same pot, then we both take an allowance, same amount that we both agreed upon, and so we can spend that allowance part on our own. So I don't have to say, hey, I need $5, I'm going to stop for coffee or whatever. If I'm going to stop for coffee, then that comes out of my allowance. So you determine what comes out of your allowance and what doesn't, but we say anything personal. And then we never put on a credit card anything that we couldn't pay off at the end of the month. So we never carry credit card debt. That's just a rule that we always followed. I mean, I learned that early when I was teaching school and I was a single. I put all the Christmas presents on credit. Next year, I was still paying off last year's Christmas presents. And it was like, this is killing me. So I learned early, let's never do that again. So if we can't pay it off by the end of the month, we don't get it. We just do without it. Until we know that we can pay it off. So we're what the credit card companies call dead weight. But that was a decision that we made, and that's been helping us. We also said neither one of us could spend over a certain amount without talking about it with each other. So that kept our communication open, and it kept us be able solid. Those were just some simple things on how we handle finances, but we had good, clear boundaries, and they helped us to always stay on track. And so then when it came to giving and being generous with others, our hearts were always very open to be able to do that. And so it's been a joy to be able to see how God could work, and he could work. Even though we had little, it's been a joy to be able to see how God could continue to bless that and use that. Now, let me say this. God's call is always to faithfulness. Always to faithfulness. Whatever it is in your life, he's calling you to be faithful. Whatever you have, he's calling you to be faithful. Whether it's your gifts, your time, your talent, he's calling you to be faithful with it. What are you going to do with what you have? He said, if you are faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large things. So how you handle the things you have. You say, well, I don't really have very much. Okay, what are you doing with it? How are you handling it? I don't have many talents. Oh, well, what are you doing with what you have? You know, just be faithful at what you have. That's when, because God cannot bless you with more unless you're faithful with what you have. God wants to bless his children. That's just the bottom line. He wants to bless us. He wants to. You know, it says, scripture says, you know, how good for a father who wants to give to his children. I can tell you that as a dad, there's nothing that brings greater joy than me being able to give something to my children. It's just wonderful. I love bringing joy to them. I can remember when I would have to travel and I would be away for trips or whatever. And the longer I'm away, the more I long to give to them. And so I would stop at the airport store and pick up some things for the kids and whatever, and just some souvenirs or something to bring back. But I could really have to really measure myself, because I just wanted to give, and I could hardly wait to see them. And when I would come home and bring something for them, they would be like, "What did you bring me? What did you bring me?" And I would be so excited to be able to share with them, because it would bring joy. But you know what? After a while, it wasn't the things I brought, it was just my presence that was the most important part. And that's exactly what the Heavenly Father wants with us. He wants to be in our presence. He just wants you to experience that. And that's the joy that comes to our hearts when that's the case. It's important. Faithfulness does not depend on the amount you have, but rather your attitude. It's your attitude toward what you have. That's what's the difference. So it doesn't matter how much you have. And that's why, you know, I said at one time I felt like uncomfortable preaching about finances and what that meant. But the fact is that I want to tell you that it's all part of who we are. And Jesus talked about money more than money in hell. How about that? More than anything else in Scripture. Those are his two topics, money and hell. Anyway, we're not talking about hell today, but we are talking about money. But the fact is that was such an important part that he knew how it controlled us and how it could do damage to us in our relationships. So what we have to do, start with small things, realize how much it affects our attitude and how we respond to it. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large. But if you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. So don't slough off on little things. They're important. It makes a difference. And so how you handle that helps God know, are you ready to handle anything further? Faithfulness in financial wealth is a test as to how one would deal with true riches. Now, I think this is really important. Do you get this scripture? He says, if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches of heaven? Now, the true riches of heaven aren't money, isn't money. So, like, how can you have the spiritual benefits that God wants to bring to your life if you're not faithful with your finances? See, God wants to bring true riches. These true riches, do you notice, are the only thing that's eternal. I do have to correct. Last week I said there you never saw a U-Haul following a hearse. Somebody sent me a picture of one. just saying. So the fact is that true riches are in heaven. This is the eternal part. This is temporary. So how you handle this temporary amounts to how it's going to impact eternity. Wow. So becomes very important for us to see. Faithfulness is never forgetting that we are only loaners to all that belongs to God. So all that we have really belongs to him. He's just loaned it to us for a while. How are you dealing with it, and how are you responding to that? If you are not faithful with other people's things, you should not be trusted with things of your own. So we need to remember, I'm a loner. Whatever I have is God's. And it's so hard for us to keep that in mind because, why? Because we have to take the responsibility, right? I can say, you know, that's not my lawn out there, that's God's. He better mow it soon. I gave it to him. He's not doing much about it, right? So there's responsibility that I have with what I own, what I loan. There's responsibilities that I have. And it's pretty easy for us to start taking control of those and owning those instead of saying it's all God's. So if he's given us responsibility, we do our best to fulfill what he's called us to do, but it's his, and that's what we have to keep remembering, so that then we can be trusted with other. All I have is his. I am the loaner. He's the owner. The fact is, money is symptomatic of bigger issues. I really believe money is symptomatic of bigger issues, because I really believe that God directs us many times by our finances. He gets our attention, right? Like, you can't pay your bills. You can't handle where you are. You don't know what you're going to do. Boy, do you become persistent in prayer when that happens, right? Oh, Lord, I really need this. We don't know. I need this job. If we don't have this, boy, if this doesn't, Lord, we get real persistent. And so I really believe that it's often symptomatic. God is speaking to us. He's helping us to see something. He wants us to be aware. And so I need to make sure, Lord, stop immediately. When there's financial problems, stop and say, Lord, what do you want to teach me at this point? What do you want to show me? Because God wants to teach you something and say, am I needing to learn how to trust you in a different way? Am I needing to learn how to live on less? Am I needing to learn how to, by faith, give even when I don't have it? Am I needing to, like, what is God trying to teach us? What are the So it's symptomatic of something that God is trying to speak into our hearts. Scripture says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. So there's an importance of making sure. You see, I have a responsibility with what I have and how I handle it. You know, the scripture says that I should owe no man anything. And many of us are in so much debt to other people or to whatever. We should make sure that we're going to pay those. We're going to be responsible for those. But how we handle this is going to speak a whole lot about our own personal gods, how we value life and money and resources. Now, the root of money is mammon. That's what it says. You can't serve God and mammon. That's what it says in lots of the translations instead of God and money. But the word itself actually came from this. Mammon was an Assyrian god with a prideful, arrogant spirit that said, we don't need God. So many times people feel they're their own provider. I can do this. I can handle this myself. I can do whatever I need. And so in that sense, you cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Money talks, and it makes promises. Money promises security. See, we think if I have enough for retirement, I'll be okay. Then I can be secure. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to make our own decisions apart from God's provision. Do you know, I think we will be good for retirement, but to be real honest with you, if things don't work out so well in my retirement in the stocks, I saw it crash like whatever number of years ago, lost a significant amount, and I thought, whew, we would have a real challenge there. That could happen again. So where do I get my security? In getting more money into my retirement or in my trust and saying, Lord, you know, I trust you. I trust you to take it. I've done the very best I can with what I have. I've tried to be faithful at the resources you've given me. We've tried not to carry indebtedness. We've tried to be good stewards. So I have to trust you. I have to trust you. Now, we could say that money brings me security. Or I can say, no, my trust in God brings me security. And that's what he wants, because we can't, money promises security, significance. Sometimes people feel more important because they have financial resources, or greater freedom, power, independence. They can buy anything they want, including love, if they have enough money. That's how money can talk, and that's the dangerous trap that people fall into. We have to keep coming back to the point that God is our source. God is our strength. I said last week, God signs your paycheck. Doesn't matter who else is, God is the one who does. And so you need to be able to say, thank you, God. I trust you with our family, with our resources, with all that we need. And I want to have my life in the right priority as that happens. I can't be serving God and money. I've got to make sure my trust is in Him. Money will cause us to choose. If you don't choose God, you've already chosen. If you're letting your money be your security, your money be all that you would need, you've already made a choice. You know, we can't serve both. And that's why there's great freedom when it comes to giving and it comes to surrendering everything we have to God, because we trust Him. We know He's going to provide for us. He's going to take care of us, and He's going to be that one. Excuse me. You cannot serve God and money. All I have is His. I am the loaner. He is the owner. There's a great importance on making sure that you're going to be faithful at how God can be able to work in each of your lives. I grew up in a home that really we had very little financial resources when we grew up. My dad pastored. I was telling Sharon this morning as we were having breakfast, I can remember, I didn't realize how poor we were as a kid because my parents tried to do their best by everything. But we lived in a trailer. Our trailer rent was, I do know this, $55 a month, and my dad's income was $25 a week. And so that meant, they always say your mortgage should never be more than one of your week's salaries out of four. And so that was over two. And so you can imagine how tough it was in our home. And I did get tired of those cereals. They were like kind of those Malt-O-Meal in those big plastic bags. Do you know what I'm talking about? And we got Puff Wheat and Puff Rice. That's all we ever had. The Puff Wheat was kind of funny in your mouth, and the Puff Rice kind of tasted like styrofoam. Yeah, some of you had it too. My parents had so little, but you know what? They were always giving. They were always faithful. They continued to do exactly what God would direct, and God has always taken care of them. He's always been faithful. They were faithful in little things. God was then faithful in response to them. I want to tell you, you're missing an opportunity to see how God wants to be faithful in your life if you're trying to provide all your needs for yourself. You're just missing an opportunity. And there's nothing that's greater. You know, I have heard several stories even recently. Somebody just emailed me this week, and they're really trying to give away a lot and live on little. And God has been blessing them through it, and they were recounting some of the ways that it happened. And I just thought, you know, it's so amazing when we depend on God, how He loves to care for us. And that's why I would just, you know, when you're doing, you're missing a blessing that God wants to pour out on your life. That's why I encourage you, if you haven't read the book, stop and get the book. Robert Morris has given away everything, I think, three different times. I mean, his bank accounts, his house, his car. I mean, he's done it all. It's like incredible. That's a little more faith than I have to tell you, very honestly, so I'm not saying there, but if you read his story, you just go, wow, that is amazing how God could be able to work through it. Use money, don't let money use you. Use money, don't let it use you. It's a trap. It's a trap. And it's a trap that you don't want to fall in. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people craving money have wandered from the true faith, pierced themselves with many sorrows. It's a trap because there's never enough. You always need a little more. It's always something else. It divides families. It divides people. Boy, you want to see families divide? Bring the inheritance up. Hey, does that get ugly or what? And I know among Christians, I think, you're kidding me. You mean you can't sit down as a family and come up with something together that is fair and equitable as Christians? But it divides, it pierces, it wounds. Trust is a building process in all of our areas of our lives. So if you're struggling with trusting God with everything, start trusting with something. Start building. Start small. Start what you can accept. You can, and then continue to build and see how he will do that. Because if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large things. So let him continue to work. So where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Like, what's the most valuable thing to you? I have several questions at the end that I'll talk about that I think will help you to know what that means. But don't store up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroy them, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. So this is going to be very directly connected. Your treasure and your heart are definitely there. And if you think about what am I investing in eternity, that's your giving. That's the stuff that you're giving away. It's not the stuff you're keeping. Do you know when you give your tithe, your 10%, God doesn't bless the 90. He blesses the 10. He blesses what you give, not what you keep. And so that's an important measure that we have to understand. So the more generous we are with God, the greater he blesses. And so there's an importance. So where is your heart? Where is your heart? The Pharisees, who dearly loved their money, heard all this and scoffed at him. And then he said to them, "You like to appear righteous in public, but God knows your hearts. What this world honors is detestable in the sight of God." So it's not on the outside, it's on the inside. It's where your heart is and what's happening within your heart. All I have is his. I'm the loaner. He is the owner. I've just got to remember and keep in mind that God is the owner. Tim Keller wrote a book. He's a pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian in New York. It's a great ministry and a great work that he has that is there. He wrote a book, Counterfeit Gods, and he gives four questions to ask about your money. First, what about your imagination? Archbishop William Temple once said, "Your religion is what you do with your solitude." What he meant by that is, what does your heart run to when it has a spare moment to think privately? You know, it's important that you would try to think, like, are those God's values? Are those the things that would be important that God would have for my life? Where's my imagination? You know, or am I always trying to think how I can get just a little bit more? What's consuming my imagination? What is that part? The second thing, your checkbook. Author and finance teacher Ron Blue says, "A life story could be written from a checkbook. It reflects your goals, your priorities, your convictions, your relationships, and even the use of your time. A person who's been a Christian for even a short while can fake prayer, Bible study, evangelism, going to church, and so on, but he can't fake what his checkbook reveals." The fact is, this tells what's really your priorities. It says what's really important to you. You will notice that what is of greatest value to you and find the freedom that God can bring by thinking about what is my calendar and my checkbook, what do they have to do in revealing what's in my heart. The fact, your functional savior, an interesting thought. I just recently did a post asking if money is your functional savior. I encourage you to check out that post, but these folks view money or what it brings as what it will save them from their misery and bring them ultimate joy. What is it that you are viewing as bringing you the ultimate happiness and joy? Because that's your savior. Where is your greatest joy? Where is your greatest happiness? Where is that found? And that helps you understand what's deeper inside your heart. Your emotions. Anger, bitterness, fear, doubt, despair, guilt are just a few emotions that we can rattle off here. Emotions aren't wrong. They're good. In fact, they help us express what we are feeling. So what gets you excited? What is a part of all that that brings out that emotion within you? When we start thinking about those things and we start seeing those, we start seeing how God would want to speak. Have you ever thought about the emotions you have surrounding your money? Keller says that our most uncontrollable emotions reveal what kind of idols we have. If you're angry, ask yourself, is there something here too important to me that I must have at all costs? If you're fearful or despairing, ask yourself, am I scared because something I view is so important is being threatened that I think is a necessity when it's not? Ask, is this thing, promotion, money, so important to me that I must have it to feel fulfilled? Keller says, when you ask questions like that, when you pull your emotions up by the roots, as it were, you will often find your idols clinging to them. I want to say, if we're in a place where we're going to say, you know, I am fully God's. All that I have is His. He's the owner and I'm the loaner. Then we're going to have to ask a lot of questions to try to understand how does that play out in my life. Let's stand together for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Father, for blessing our lives. Thank you for letting that overflow in our hearts. Lord, forgive us for trying to fulfill our needs ourselves, for trying to do for us what you want to do. Help us to learn how to make you the highest priority in our lives, in our giving, and all that's a part of that. Help us to be faithful to what you've given to us in little things, that you can bless our lives and we can be able to see the ultimate work that you want to do in even greater ways. We love you, Father. You are the owner. I am the loaner. I give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. May God bless and go with you.